The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Aidan Fitzmaurice there. Well, while memories were mostly sharp at the Public Accounts Committee meetings, they're proving more difficult for Boris Johnson, who told the UK COVID-19 inquiry this week that he couldn't remember the PIN code he used to unlock an old phone, which contained messages sent at the height of the pandemic. So how do we keep our memories sharp and our text messages accessible to commissions of inquiry? I'm joined now by Sean Duke, Communications Officer at the Faculty of Science and Health at DCU, and columnist Fiona Looney. You're both very welcome. Fiona, first of all, do you have difficulties remembering pins?
The number of times I've stood in front of ATM machines or at little pin cards in supermarkets. And my problem is, it's not remembering the number, it's remembering where I laid the breadcrumbs that lead me to the number. So with four-digit pins, I tend to break them into 2 years. So let's say 4576 will be, that's the end of the Second World War and the Montreal Olympics. And then suddenly I'm standing in front of an ATM going, which Olympics is it? And suddenly you're lost.
But the system is
breaking down. And I have to say, scornful though a lot of people were about Boris Johnson, including me, I had an identical experience where I literally had to give up using a phone that was only about 6 months old. And it wasn't a PIN number. There was an issue with the phone that needed to be reset. And when I went to, to take all the stuff, I don't know the technical term, bring all the stuff back onto it, it asked me my security questions. And one of them was, your childhood best friend. So obviously I'd previously answered this. And I went, that'll be Jean. No. Noreen? No. And suddenly I'm going through the names of everyone in my class and then extending it out to kind of everyone I ever met. My mother helpfully at one stage said, did you try Jesus? I said, I think that's unlikely, but I tried it. And I can only conclude, I did have to give up using the phone, and I can only conclude that when I answered the security question, I gave some kind of smart aleck answer like, Bono or, kind of Paul Mescal or something. And that was the end of that.
And Sean Duke, when it comes to memory, I presume what Fiona is doing is kind of the right approach because she's got a system to link numbers with events. Or how are we supposed to do it?
It's actually exactly what I do. Her system is good because if you just have nonsense numbers, so if you've got a string of numbers up to, say you're only going to remember a certain number if they don't have some meaning attached. So if you can create something visual, like for example, I have here 5601, that might be the 1956 Olympics when Ronnie Delaney won his gold medal. So you're always going to remember that because I can now picture Ronnie Delaney winning that. So you have to create an image, if you like. And numbers are much easier to remember in pairs. And you can go on literally for, not forever, but for a long, long sequence if you break them up into pairs like that, like Fiona's doing.
What about telephone numbers? I mean, for me, I don't do any of those visual system things, but it's the sound. I repeat, I learn it like you learn the lyrics of a song.
Yeah,
it's 087 DDDDDD.
Yeah, exactly.
and it just sticks.
And I met a friend now from school years and years ago. He could still remember my number and hadn't seen him in like 35 years. And I was shocked by this. But he must have had some system like that as well. He just rattled it off. And I'd forgotten our childhood number.
But isn't it funny the way prior to digitization, people of our generation, we walked around with probably 7 or 8 digit phone numbers in our head that we knew by heart. And we didn't seem to have any trouble remembering them. So I wonder, is digitization, like, is making everything so easy actually damaging our memories?
It's de-skilling us, because I got an iPhone robbed in France. And after that, I couldn't find anything. I just got lost on holiday. I was going because I'd so used to using the GPS. Whereas before with maps, it would have been no problem.
And of course, with speed dial, you don't necessarily need to remember numbers as such. If you've got them booked in, you hit the number. But what about the science of memory, Sean? What's going on and where are we going wrong when we don't remember?
Well, the science of it is fascinating because you think you might have forgotten something or lost a skill or whatever, but actually you don't. And when we lay down a memory, they're in groups of neurons, which are the nerve cells. And if you put groups of these together, they're called engrams. This is the jargon that the scientists use. And basically, once an engram is laid down in your brain, it causes a structural change to your brain. So as you lay down new memories, your brain, your physical structure of your brain is changing as you go through life. Now, what they think happens is that you remember the stuff that's relevant. relevant to you. So as the world changes, then you do a kind of an editing or a pruning process, and some things get kind of put to one side, but not completely forgotten. So that means, say, with Alzheimer's, for example, people you might think have lost a memory, or as they get older, they completely start to forget. But actually, the problem they have is accessing the engram. So they're in the room, if you like, trying to find where the file is, and they just can't find it, but it's still there.
So therefore, can it ever be helpful to forget?
Yes, it definitely can be helpful to forget, because if you have, if you're in a situation where you need to be flexible in your thinking, or you need to do things differently, if you have a certain way of doing things, then you know you need to forget certain ways of doing things to learn. So forgetting, now scientists think, is actually a way of learning. So when people say somebody is absent-minded, it's considered maybe, you know, that's a negative thing, that's a weakness, but actually it's just a person using their memory in an efficient way to put certain things to one side that they no longer need. That's what forgetting is, and to bring new things on board that they do need, like in their working memory, their daily memory.
It sounds, Fiona, like you haven't really seen the upsides of forgetting. Have you had any embarrassing moments where you just couldn't remember one of these?
Oh, I mean, I have had to, like, luckily in my local SuperValue, they kind of know me, because I have had to walk away and just, you know, kind of go, I cannot remember the numbers here. And by the way, I don't worry about this, because I do think, I know from talking to other people, I think everyone is afflicted by it. But I have had to walk away and say, I just can't pay for the groceries. And they've been very good, and they've said, take them, you know, you will remember this, and anyway we know where you live, kind of thing. But I think we are all, you know, to use your word, de-skilling, you know, and I think it is a problem. And you know, all of this is fine until you lose your phone. I don't even know my children's phone numbers off by heart. Yeah, so if I lose my phone, I really would be.
And we're so concerned about security. I remember getting a gift of a one for all voucher, and I thought, and it has a pin. And I thought, I'll never remember that pin. So I'll write it down in my phone, this pin. And then I thought, if the phone gets stolen and I have one for all pin number is. So I called it Three Musketeers. And I thought, oh, I'll just have Three Musketeers in the number. But of course, I have to remember that that's what
exactly.
I called it when
you
I want to go looking for it.
You have to remember the breadcrumbs. And I've done that as well, where I've put pin numbers as the last four digits in fictional mobile phone numbers. And then I put a fictional name on it. But the problem then is, like a lot of people, if you do a job with somebody once, you still have their number in your phone. And so you're looking through your phone, you're going, are any of these real people? Like, you've no idea what
they relate
to.
What about facial recognition, Fiona? Would you be a fan of that as an alternative?
Well, the joy of facial recognition as you get older is your phone increasingly doesn't know who you are. Your phone ages with you, and it's sort of come, oh my God, this is not my beautiful owner. Especially first thing in the morning, when, you know, a lot of people tend to turn on their phone and they're still lying down, and your phone goes, my God, look at the state of you. I do not know who you are. It's a very bleak start to any day.
You don't know who you're giving your face or fingerprints to, or whatever it is. The other thing, Sean, are there good books out there on memory that you could recommend?
There are a couple of books, actually, that I was talking to some scientists for this show just this week, and they recommended three. So we have The Memory Illusion, that's Remembering, Forgetting, and The Science of False Memory. That's by Dr. Julia Shaw. She's a forensic psychologist, and that basically draws on the research to show how our memories play tricks on us. So, you know, the classic thing is remembering a car accident, that if you suggest to people who've seen a car accident that it happened in a certain way, they change their view on what happened. Or if they have a certain bias, like, you know, in America, there was a study done where it was suggested that the person was black, then the person was black, even though they were white, that kind of thing. So that's covered in that book. Then another one, The Seven Sins of Memory, Daniel Schachter. That's how memory and the mind influence each other and impact behavior. It's all about absent-mindedness not being a bad thing, suggestibility, bias, and how our behavior is shaped by our memory, and how our identity is very much linked with our memory. And that's why Alzheimer's is tragic, because our memory goes. And then finally, Unlimited Memory, how to use, this is a practical one, how to use advanced learning strategies to learn faster, remember more, and be more productive. So if you want to actually get ahead of the posse, that was a Wall Street Journal bestseller. And it says, look, you've got all this potential that you can tap into. Here's how you do it.
I'll have to write those down. Remember them. Sean Duke and Fiona Looney, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. That's all we have time for this week. The programme was produced by Fiona Kelly and Aideen McLaughlin. Cliona Cooley was broadcast coordinator, and Dave Gibson was on sound. Until next week, we'll play out with Memories from Cats. Bye for now.
The Business on RT Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
The Business is an Old Yard production for RTE Radio 1.